Hello there and greetings. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night, October 10. Kind of a cool night outside. I'm Rick Moore along with Bill Newell. Bill Proposky is our producer and engineer. Bill Newell, the voice of North Shore Sports, and a lot of guests lined up for this evening. Talking mostly football, but some other sports as well tonight. So we hope that you'll be part of it. And you can let me know what you think. Go ahead and email me at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Let me know what you're thinking with questions, comments, complaints, or whatever. Excuse me. Now, let me give the lineup for tonight. Let me shut the music off here first. Tim is not here, but we will be talking to Tim Kearns in just a little while. Tonight, we'll be talking with Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings, Peabody High School football coach Mark Betancourt, Salem High School football coach Matt Bouchard, and sports writer Scott Cooper, along with Tim Kearns, as we'll check out a lot of various sports for you. Go over the scoreboard for today. Just a couple of scores in so far, as St. Mary's boys soccer has won 3-0. We'll have a quick audio report coming up from Coach Mike D'Agostino. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. And we also have the one final score in, as Manchester Essex has beaten Gloucester. I believe that score is posted, and it is 4-0. Hornets are now 8-1-3, and Gloucester falls to 5-6-1, and it was 4-0. Manchester Essex over Gloucester. St. Mary's boys soccer 3-0 over Northeast Volk, and as I said, we'll have Coach D'Agostino's report on that one in just a few minutes. On the scoreboard from the weekend, in football, Gloucester over Winthrop 48-6. Linfield beat Manchester Essex 47-14. The Prep over Catholic Memorial, big time, 37-27. Marblehead, surprisingly easy game over Beverly, 39-7. Danvers 26, English nothing. Peabody shut out Classical 28-0. Salem 32, Swampscott 13. Masconomet 36, Wayland 7. Ipswich over Amesbury 28-20. Hamilton Wenham continues winning. They beat Georgetown 28-21. Bishop Fenwick over Austin Prep 35-0. Greater Lawrence beat Essex Tech 42-26. Revere bouncing back over Saugus by a score of 30-13. North Reading 42, Pentucket 20. Triton took it to Newburyport late 38-21, and it was Holderness 22 and Pingree 19. Our games this weekend that we will have for you on Friday night, we'll have Lynn English at Peabody. That will be our live streaming video game on Channel B. Marblehead at Lynn Classical will be over on Channel A with Bill Newell. I'll have the game in Peabody. And then I believe Gloucester at Salem will be broadcast on WBOQ on Friday night. But we've got the two games. We're going to have reports from Salem on the Gloucester-Salem game. I think we'll be able to arrange that. Excuse me. And other games, Essex Tech is at Shawsheen on Friday night, Arlington Catholic at Bishop Fenwick, and North Reading is at Triton. And Triton continues to roll right along. So let's see here. On Saturday, it's Winthrop at Saugus. That's an 11 a.m. start. BC High is at St. John's Prep at 1:30. Masconomet travels to Pawtucket at 2. Amesbury is at Hamilton Wenham at 2 o'clock. Revere at Swampscott at 2 o'clock. And Danvers is at Beverly at 2:30. We will have that Danvers-Beverly game for you with Bill Newell, Marty Smith on Saturday at 2:30. So we'll take a look at some of the standings as well as the evening goes on. But the big things to look at, Marblehead 5-0, 3-0 in their league. Gloucester at 4-1, 3-0 in their league. Triton is at 5-0, 1-0 in their league. And Linfield is at 3-0 in the league, 3-2 overall. I got to do something about that frog in my throat, don't I? Okay, so anyway, that's what it is. We will take a break. We come back. We're going to check in with Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings, and we'll also have that report coming up, as I promised you, from Mike D'Agostino. Jeff D'Agostino on my mind. As most of you know now, Jeff has resigned from coaching in Gloucester. Jeff D'Agostino was the indoor track coach and the spring track coach for boys and girls at Gloucester High School, but he has resigned due to a commitment as an administrator in the Gloucester school system. So we're sorry to see Jeff leave coaching. I hope maybe it's just temporary and he'll be back at some point in his career. Great coach over at Gloucester High School. All right, we'll take a break and come back, as we said, with a report from Mike D'Agostino, and then we'll check in with Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings on MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night on this Monday night. Thanks for being with us, and lots more to come.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honeydews seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydews flavors of the fall today.
Rick, Mike D'Agostino, St. Mary's Boys Soccer. Connor put a 3-0 win over Northeast Volk. Today's goals were scored by Matt Conley, assisted by Nolan Perez. Second goal was scored by Chris Garcia, assisted by Matt Conley. Third goal was scored by Chris Garcia and was assisted by Kevin Perez. Makes St. Mary's 8-3-1 overall, and Richie Mateo had his third shutout of the season in net. Thank you.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, just have to connect the and correct the right buttons here and then press the right stuff. All right, we're back, North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky. Tim Kern's not here tonight, but we'll talk to Tim in a little while. Joining us now on the line is Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings. And, Coach, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
Coach, I'm looking at your schedule here, and obviously we talked last week about the big game on Friday night. That you pulled out a 26-0 win, but I'm looking at your first couple of games getting adjusted, the new kids getting adjusted to a new quarterback and so on. But you roll back into your league and you've won three in a row now. So tell us a little bit about the Stoneham game.
Stoneham came in 4-0 undefeated. They've had a lot of success over the past couple of years, and they're no nonsense. They're gonna line up an eye and they're gonna pound the ball at you. And it's really. You got to be able to handle it. We were able to Friday night. We told our guys with teams like that, you have to get them behind the sticks. You know, you can't allow them to go second and six, third and two, and let them operate within their playbook. So big thing that we told the guys was don't worry about where we are in the field. If we can force third and longs and put them in a situation where they have to pass, which isn't their strength, you know, the more often we're able to do that, the more we're going to be able to force them off the field. So we only gave up one offensive touchdown to them. They intercepted the ball in the third quarter, and it so our defense played exceptionally well. You know, we were a little bit outsized up front, but technique-wise, we were good. The guys gapped out, and, you know, we were able to make enough plays defensively to get them off the field. Offensively, you know, we took advantage of some field position. We had a couple big plays in the running game, and then, you know, our sophomore quarterback, the kid Mike Lucy, who we talked about last week, you know, he came up with a throw on third and 25 from our 30 to the back pylon that, you know, if it's 3 inches further, it's out of bounds. And, you know, he's just that kind of kid. He's making those kinds of plays this year, and, you know, he's just kind of growing up before everyone. It's really fun to watch.
But that's just how you draw it up, isn't it, Coach? Third and 25?
Yeah, no, we've got a big part of our playbook designed for that stuff, so we spent a lot of time working on it. It's good that it came through.
What was the key on defense, Coach? Because you mentioned size and technique. You guys have quickness and stay in the lanes and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, we have a nice mix. We've got a really deep defensive line, but we've got about eight guys that we can rotate through, so... You know, when you face those kinds of teams and you get the same guys in the field all the time, you know, they're going to get beat on because they're going to get double teamed, and it's just, you know, you need to be able to have bodies. So we're pretty lucky with that, and we've got some different body types where we've got some long, lean guys, and we've got some short, stocky guys, and, you know, we're just kind of able to play. You know, we tweaked our defensive alignments a little bit where they really like to run power where they're pulling the guard and they're wrapping up, and you know, we wanted some head up techniques to make their down blocks a little tougher. We got off the ball pretty quick, and you know, our D line and our linebackers played fantastic. Stoneham was a team that was averaging about 27 a game going in, so to limit them to one touchdown offensively was huge.
Well, yeah, and I'm looking. You know, your defense has come on strong, really. You know, since the Marblehead game, what I want to ask is how big a confidence boost is it for you for your kids to play a game like Stoneham? And was that game in jeopardy, you know, late on in the fourth quarter?
I mean, absolutely. We went into the half down 7-6. We came out second half, we forced a three and out, and then, you know, we threw a kick that they ran in for a touchdown. So right now we're down 13-6. We were able to score late in the third to tie it up, and then we made a big play defensively. You know, we forced a fumble, which they fell on, but it was a pretty big loss of yards for them in that play. So their resulting punt, we got the ball around midfield, and we were able to, you know, hit a big play down the field and then score on that. So, you know, the game was never really locked up. They even had the ball with about a minute left at their own 40. We had to hold on. You know, it was a big team win. But, you know, second half, field position was really key for us. We didn't make big mistakes in the kicking game, which we had done, you know, earlier in the year. Our guys seem to be learning. They're learning from their mistakes, and they're getting better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we don't want to look too far ahead, but what was it like after the game? What'd you tell the kids afterwards?
You know, after we told them, it's, you know, the big goal that our seniors had was to win a league title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't been in high school since the last time we won one. The last time we won a league title was in 2011. So, what we told them was, you know, all you've done so far is you've just put yourself in position to, you know, achieve your goal, nothing more, nothing less. So we're not, you know, we're not any better than we thought we were. We're just, right now, we're in control of what we want to do. You know, we've just kind of forced everyone else in the league to have to scoreboard watch now. So we told our guys, we got a big test in Burlington coming up this Friday, and if we're able to win that one, we clinch at least a share of the league title for the year. So, you know, all of our focus is on that. Burlington's having a little bit of a tough year. They're 1-4, but they're extremely talented. You know, they had Melrose at the half. They lost a heartbreaking game against Watertown this past weekend. They gave up a touchdown with about 20 seconds left. So it's one of those cases where their record really doesn't indicate how good of a football team they are. They've got a quarterback, Dylan Bonfilio, who, as far as high school quarterbacks go, I mean, the kid can do it all. He's like a 6-foot high jumper in track. He can make every throw. He's fast. He's going to beat you with his legs. He can beat you with his arm. So we got our work cut out for us Friday, but make sure the guys understood that, you know, all we've done so far is we've just put ourselves in position to get what we want, but we're not done yet. So, you know, we came out today, we had a good practice, and, you know, I'm just hoping that we get the next couple of days and got to get a little healthy. I mean, playing against a team like Stoneham, you're going to get some guys that are banged up a little bit just from the style of play that they have. So we got to get some guys healthy. We're going to come into Friday and, you know, hopefully continue with the success.
Yeah, the league is the season is just flying by now. Good turnout on Friday night, Coach, you know, from the home crowd.
Oh, it's fantastic. And, you know, Stoneham traveled really well, too. They're having a very successful year. So, you know, they were 4-0 going in. So they had a very big student section. It was the fullest I've seen that stadium in a few years. So it was good. The hometown's really been supporting these kids. You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with some of the stuff that we do off the field. Our guys are really involved in we do a community service project in the town of Wakefield where all the kids have to do 15 hours of community service somewhere. You know, and I want them to get out in the community. I want these people to know who these kids are. And, you know, they've been doing some fantastic things. And, the Wakefield base really showed up on Friday. It was great to have that kind of crowd.
Tremendous, tremendous. How have your captains responded with their duties this year?
My captains have been fantastic. So we got Joe Cannell, who is a two-way lineman. Joe Marinaccio, who's a linebacker and tailback for us. Alex McKenna, who is a wide receiver and defensive back, and P.J. Iannuzzi, who's a middle linebacker, fullback. And ever since they got named captain last December, these kids have been at my door, really supporting everything that we're doing in the program, really helping. You know, one of the things we wanted to work on was just the culture of the program and, you know, what things that we wanted to see day-to-day in practice and how, when it comes from them, it's a lot different than it coming from, you know, I'm the one that's supposed to get on people and do all these things, but when it comes from their peers, when it comes from their teammates, when it comes from their senior leaders, it has a whole new meaning to it. So my seniors this year have been great, but my captains in particular, you know, whenever I need something, I can send them a message and it gets done. You know, these kids are, you know, the team players, the team guys first. You know, they don't complain about, you know, I'm not getting the ball enough or I'm not seeing the field as much as I should. They care about winning and they care about making sure the team is as successful along with it. So, you know, we've got a great culture in the program right now, and a lot of it has to do with those kids. You know, they're handling it very well. I mean, I think they like, you know, they look in the stands and see a few more bodies than they did last year. And I think, you know, they appreciate that. But they've also been stepping up and playing big football. You know, all four of them showed up Friday night with huge plays. You know, so then that's the other part of it is, you know, you're a leader, you're doing all the right things in practice, but they're also stepping up into the guys that we rely on when the game's on.
Yeah, and when you do it by example, it means that much more, of course. Coach, final thought, I'm looking at the league standings, and oh my goodness gracious, you know, you've beaten the guys closest to you. They have 5-1 records, but then there's Melrose looming, and I know it's down the road, but what do you see from Melrose? You know, they're always tough.
They are, and, you know, having played them so many times over the past couple of years, playoff format, we kind of seem to, you know, we match up with them in the playoffs and we play them on Thanksgiving, so, you know, we've seen them a lot. You know, first and foremost, when you watch them play, the kid Mike Pedrini, number 5, their tailback, he's a kid who just jumps off the page at you. He is an incredible high school football player. I mean, he's a kid who does everything well. You know, not only is he like a 4.0 student and, you know, all that stuff, he's got great hands, he's got great balance, he's got speed. This kind of kid is just, he makes a play. You watch a game with him on tape, and there's usually one or two plays where you've got to stop it and rewind it and go, how do you do that? You know, he's just that kind of player. You know, we're looking forward to, you know, we like the competition. You know, whenever we're both good, and it's just better for the league. You know, but they're going to be spread. They've got enough pieces around the Pedrini kid to be successful. And, you know, the big thing when you play them is you can't let Mike Pedrini beat you all by himself. You got to make the other guys make plays. It's a little easier said than done because ever since he's a sophomore, it just seems like he's always got some sort of 60 or 70-yard play in his back pocket that just breaks your back at the you know, the worst part of the game. But, you know, it's a tribute to their coaching staff. They do a great job over there. They put their guys in positions to make plays. And, you know, we're not so much, you know, worried about Thanksgiving because we could see them a whole lot earlier than that.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. And, you know, it's always great when you talk about other kids and you see how other... You know, final question. I just thought of one more, Steve. When you talk about breaking down what the other kids can do and what your team looks like, just tell me the technology, the way it is, the way you now have the digital technology, the digital video, does it mean more to a coach? Do you learn more that way than say, the old film or the old ways?
Well, I mean, when I first started in the Middlesex League, we couldn't even film. So when I was the freshman coach here, we would have to go to games and you'd have to bring all the sheets and you'd have to draw every play as it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from there to now where we've got everything on this, you know, the Huddle website where you're allowed to break down data. And the thing that's good with the software technology is, you know, you can watch tape over and over and over and over and over again. But with the new software they have, you know, you input certain data and you can find out if teams like to run to the wide side of the field. You can find out if they, you know, what they like to run out of certain formations where it's just quicker. You know, it's stuff that you used to be able to figure out, but it saves you like 5 hours, you know, because all you got to do is input the data and you can press some buttons, And it really helps with your scouting, because then you can take those reports and kind of put it towards your game plan. And it just helps you, you know, on the field a little bit, just your spacing and, you know, what you're going to expect. And, you know, you can find out when certain teams like to blitz, because most people have tendencies, you know, that you can pick up. But the other thing that we do is we'll run self-scouts. You know, after every couple of games, we'll put our own stuff in there. Mm-hmm. You know, are we being too, you know, too predictable? Are we always going wide side? Do we always run left? Or this formation, what are we doing? So, you know, the software and technology, it's really whatever you want to do with it, you can do. What we try not to do is we try not to get too caught up in it. I know right now in Massachusetts, they're trying to pass the bill that allows you to have the iPads right on the sidelines so you get the instant feedback. I'm not so much sold on that, because I just think that's just one extra thing for guys to look at and get worried about. So, you know, it's come a long way. It's definitely a huge help, but I think with some of it, you got to take it for what it is. You know, you can kind of get lost in it sometimes and just forget. It's high school football.
Well, there's still a human element and the teaching element in it, I'm sure, Coach, from day to day and your gut feelings and how a kid is responding to the kid beside him and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, so it's definitely a huge help, but you have to learn how to moderate it a little bit. I mean, you can go a little overboard with some of your research, but we run a couple, you know, simple things. It's more just, you know, down and distance type stuff. Is there anything they're doing that's blatant that maybe I'm not seeing right now? You know, but it all comes down to it. It's, you know, it's high school sports. We all have high school kids, and it's just about putting guys in the right position to make plays.
Loving it, loving it. Well, Coach, good luck this weekend against Burlington. That's a Friday night home game.
Yeah, we're at home for the third week in a row, and you know, hopefully we get another good fan base and we give them something to cheer about.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you later, Coach. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
That is Steve Cummings, who is the football coach at Wakefield High School, and Wakefield now at 3-2, but they are 3-0 in the league. They have beaten Watertown, Wilmington, Stoneham in that order, and they've got Burlington, Winchester, and Melrose coming up to play out the regular season schedule, as we're just flying through the regular season and playoffs starting in, I think, 3 or 4 weeks now. Let me see. One Melrose is the Thanksgiving game. So I'm confused by that. I think 3 weeks the playoffs begin. 3 weeks. I'll have to check with some of the coaches here. So we'll take a break. It is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. Still to come, we'll be talking with some more football coaches along with Scott Cooper and Tim Kearns.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we are joined now by Scott Cooper. Let me just turn the music off here. Scott covering Marblehead Swampscott Sports primarily for the item and other publications as well. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Excellent, excellent. Kearns isn't here. I'm going to talk to him by phone. He was out on some bike trip today up in Nashgash, New Bungie somewhere up by the Canadian border. So I don't
very
know.
Nice.
Yeah, really. Scott, I think we should probably start with Marblehead football because I'm very surprised by the outcome of the Beverly game. Maybe not the outcome as much as the score.
Yeah, they've been doing very well. It's surprising. They're a very cohesive unit. They're doing very well on offense, very well on defense. I think that everybody that returned from last year's disappointment has one focus and one focus only: make it the regular season strong and get another chance to make a dent in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that in the Wakefield game that we were at that you know, they had a focus. And did you cover the Beverly game?
I was there part of the time. I was at the Swampscott game, and I took in a St. John's Prep Senior Day game Saturday afternoon.
Okay, you did it all. All right, so yeah. Let's go around the region. What impresses you first of all about Marblehead?
Well, they have so many weapons. You know, it's you can't key on one player. I mean, it's you know, with Swampscott they've got Frary and Larizzi, pretty much. You know, if you nullify those two, you have a good chance of beating them. But Marblehead's got Lopez, they've got Sears, they've got Craig, they've got, you know, Galley can run the ball, Galley can throw the ball. They just have a lot of options on offense, which is nice to have.
All right, and let's go over to Swampscott now. Salem, a resurgent Salem team knocking off the Big Blue, and I think, you know, for some of us, that's a bit of a surprise.
Well, Salem, you know, the Salem looked pretty good. They got Gaskins, that running back, and they were focused all week on Swampscott, and they, Swampscott, you know, they didn't play very well. I mean, I'm not the only person that said it, but they just had, I don't know whether they had an off day, an off night. It's a rare night game over in Swampscott, but they were not ready to play. They're going to have to play a heck of a lot better this weekend if they want to beat Revere.
Well, this Gaskins kid, I understand, according to the Times, he had 202 yards and three touchdowns for Salem.
He seemed like he could. The only thing that I thought, he got banged up at one play and he missed a series. That was the only time that they stopped him all night, is when he wasn't on the field, because he seemed to get the ball on every single play.
Well, the other thing,
yeah, I just wanted to mention the Gloucester girls field hockey team.
Sure.
I saw them play Swampscott the other day. They scored with 2 seconds left to win it 2-1. That was just, they just kept pumping and pumping, and they got one in, and the next thing you know, the game was over. It was pretty amazing.
They have been very, very impressive, and I think the thing about that team is that the drive that they have, as you just mentioned, they've had a couple of games like that where they just battle right down to the end, and I guess their defense has been outstanding.
Yeah, they're doing very well. I mean, we've got, you know, the Marblehead girls are unbeaten. The Swampscott girls only lost once. Marblehead girls soccer is doing fantastic. The boys soccer team doing pretty well. The boys soccer team in Swampscott's only lost a couple, and St. Mary's football is doing outstanding. A lot of teams that I've popped in at least once or twice to check out their games this fall.
Yeah, what do you see with St. Mary's football? They've won some really big games.
They haven't really played. You know, there was some concern about when they got playing in league games that they might slow down a little bit, and obviously that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
They met the challenge and they took care of business. So they're a team to reckon with, certainly.
Boys soccer coach Mike D'Agostino over there calls in reports all the time, and soccer's doing pretty well. They had a couple of really giant wins, but they're I guess rolling along at 8-3-1 in boys soccer.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, you can pull an upset in soccer, but you know the cream usually rises to the top. To use an old cliche, but you know, to get 8 wins and the teams are pretty well balanced in that league, but to win 8 games is pretty impressive, and they're doing very well.
Anything jump out at you at the prep game?
The intensity of that game, it's kind of unique. I mean, because as you know, going to high school games up in Gloucester and Swampscott, Marblehead, Danvers, the crowd was, you know, 5 times what it is for one of those games. And, you know, they've got the sidelines, they've got 80 kids in uniform. the intensity level of that game was off the charts. That was an intense game, because there's no press box, so we had to walk up and down the sidelines behind the Catholic Memorial kids for a different perspective. And that, you know, when you can hear, the pads hitting the helmet and the tackles made when they hit the turf, and the intensity of that game, those two teams don't like each other at all.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that in the Catholic Conference for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Where do you watch the game, Scott, over in Marblehead? Because we can't broadcast from here. There's no place where we can fit in. So are you, you know, in the stands on the sidelines?
It depends. I just, you know, you can go up there because the coaches are up there and Marblehead TV is up there. So depends on the weather. If it's nice, I'll go in the stands, walk around the field. But if it's a little inclement or raining, whatever, I'll pop in there because there's room for a couple of people to stand. So.
Yeah, it's really disappointing for us because we would love to do the games from there, but we're just not able to.
It's just that, you know, they did everything but make space for the media, but that's okay.
All right, now Marblehead is at Classical on Friday night. Will you be covering that one?
Yeah, they've got the Lynn Schools. I'm going to be at that game Friday, and I've got a doubleheader on Saturday. I've got Winthrop and Saugus at 11 a.m., then I've got Swampscott Revere at 2 p.m., so I'm banging out double duty Saturday, and I got a single game Friday night.
All right, now where do we read this stuff? You got it in the item, and where else?
Well, it's going to be in the item in the Swampscott Reporter, the Marblehead Reporter with the Gatehouse Media.
Way cool. All right, Scott, good talking with you. I miss you, man. And look for the boys on Friday night. They'll be over there at Manning Field.
All right. Thank you so very much, Rick.
Thanks, Scott. Take care.
Bye-bye now.
That is Scott Cooper, who is a sports writer, sports reporter, covering mostly Swampscott and Marblehead area, but some of the Lynn schools as well. And appreciate Scott's help, and Scott always is a huge help and very, very knowledgeable, writes good stuff. Okay, where are we? Let me check the time here. All right, we're going to need to take a break, and then we'll come back and check in with Peabody football coach Mark Betancourt. So do stay with us. We will be back. Good Lord willing, as they say. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Okay, we are back, and very pleased to be joined now by Peabody High School football coach Mark Betancourt. And Coach, how are you?
So far, so good.
Very good, and very big win, an impressive win, I think, the other night over Lynn Classical. You guys playing very well and shutting Classical out, a lot to talk about in that game. So for you, how did you look at that Classical win? I know it was a weird start. I think they had like 14 plays on their first possession or something like that, but How to go from your perspective?
Well, after having three games on the road, we were kind of dying to get back for a home game. I think that, the kids were excited to play at home, and we had a good week of practice. Even in the games that we lost, the Beverly and Marblehead games, there were a lot of positives to pull out of that. The first three quarters of the Beverly game, defensively, we played very, very well. And the second half of the Marblehead game, we played very well offensively. So we tried to put all the pieces together and make an effort to come out and play four quarters of football on both sides of the ball, tighten up our special teams, which I felt like we did in that Classical game, and just give us a little bit more, a little bit of confidence coming down the home stretch here in league play.
Absolutely, and very impressive performance, I think, on both sides of the ball. Let's start with the offense, Coach. You got Matt D'Amato back. He looked pretty healthy, and Noah Friedman with a big game. But what I like to see was Eric DeMeo carrying the ball, because as I remember, if I'm remembering it right, Eric was primarily a blocking back last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, we were lucky to have the luxury of having Dougie Santos for the last couple of years, and didn't really need anybody else really to carry the ball. Eric predominantly was his blocking back.
Mm-hmm.
This year, looking at the beginning of the season, the way we came out of the gates, we kind of made a decision that if we're not going to have that horse running back, we're going to pass the ball around and make people tackle different types of runners. Noah Friedman, Nick Nelsnick, Jake Daugherty, and obviously Eric DeMeo, much different players, and to tackle each one of them, you have to go about things in different ways. So we're trying to spread the ball around and give everybody carries and make the defense tackle different types of runners on every play.
On defense, I think Classical went for two quarters or more without a first down after their initial drive. What did you guys do that was so successful against Classical?
Well, I think the big thing is we try to take away what they want to do. Their offensive scheme is to do a lot of pulling with their guards and their tackles. And, we spent the week really trying to keep our guys from our defensive linemen from being double teamed and knocked back off the line of scrimmage. It kind of quad a lot of the things that Classical wanted to do, which caused them to bounce the ball to the outside where they don't really have the blocking. And we did some strong tackling from the outside. And when they tried to throw the ball, we had a pretty idea of the route that they wanted to run. And we worked hard on those routes and making sure we could be successful in coverage. And the kids went out and they executed the plan.
I think I saw Nolan Murphy, if I'm not mistaken. Little guy made it some pretty impressive plays on defense. How do you get a guy like that out there, Coach? What's his strength? He's listed as 140 pounds.
Well, I think he's a very good tackler, and as far as pass coverage goes, it's simply repetition.
Mm-hmm.
We run our DBs through multiple drills in pre-practice. We run them through live drills and in practice. And even Marcus Bakker, our other safety, Pat McGuire, we don't have anybody that's real big. Having Moise Irizarry in our defensive backfield is a huge advantage because he is 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
And if someone does have a big receiver, we have the option of putting Moise out there to counteract that.
Mark, line play, can you give me a lineman who goes a little bit unnoticed by the crowd on offense and defense, but the coach sees what he does?
Well, defensively, Cam Powers was a great defensive lineman last year for us. We anchored that defensive line. But the play of Dariel Kneller, a junior defensive tackle that kind of came out of nowhere, worked his tail off this summer and in the weight room all winter, has really become a force inside for us. And the play of our two defensive ends, both seniors, James McCarthy and Brandon Muse, has really elevated our defense.
Mm-hmm.
In that, it's difficult to get outside of those two guys. They really focus on making teams turn the ball in, which brings us to our strengths, which I've always thought are our linebacking core of Eric DeMayo, Jake Daugherty, and Francisco Mendoza.
Yeah.
And if they can turn the ball in, I think we have a pretty good chance. That's where our best tacklers are going to be scraping to. And I think our defensive line has been a huge key to the fact that we've pitched two shutouts this year. Held Beverly scoreless for three quarters. Whenever our defense plays well, a lot of it hinges around our defensive line and our linebackers.
Absolutely.
When they choose to throw, like you had mentioned, Nolan Murphy, Marcus Bakker, Pat McGuire, Cedric Gutierrez, Moise Irizarry, these guys have done a wonderful job in coverage. A lot of it, again, because of the work that our defensive back coach, Steve Lamazny, and Davey Betancourt do with those guys on a daily basis.
Yeah, they know what they're talking about. That's pretty impressive. Coach, before we take a look at Lynn English and wrap this thing up, what's your reaction to the Beverly Marblehead game? I was a little surprised by the score.
Well, I think Marblehead's offense is superior to a lot of teams, especially on the North Shore. They're making two, three, sometimes four different reads on every play. Generally, when you play most teams, you try to shut down a certain aspect of their offense. With Marblehead, it's very difficult to do that because they have basically two pass options and two run options almost on every play that they run. So you have to cover the entire field when you play Marblehead. You can't make any mistakes. And in high school football, over the course of a drive, you're gonna have some breakdowns, and Marblehead's real good at finding those and exploiting them.
For sure. All right, now, Lynn English, having a little bit of a problem getting started this year. What do you see from them coming up?
They're a scary team. I mean, I think their record is 1-4, but you watch the film. I believe they were winning going into the fourth quarter against Beverly.
Yes, they were.
Basically,
yep.
The score wasn't indicative of that game until I watched the film. I said, my goodness, this wasn't a one-way show here. I mean, Lynn English gave it, put it up. Beverly got some big-time breaks in that game to pull that game out in the fourth quarter. They played Danvers real, real tough. I mean, they got a front five that I think is very formidable. Anytime you play a Lynn team, whether it's classical or English, they're always gifted with very athletic players, kids that can run, kids that can move, that are very agile, that can go up for a ball, and they're tough kids. So, I mean, even before the Glasgow game, I warned our guys that these kids are going to be tough, athletic kids. We get a rise to the occasion, and coming into this week against Lynn English, there's nothing different.
So the focus this week is to pay attention to what does the Belichick say? Do your job, keep the kids on the same page.
Well, that's been our thing. Ever since we played, we lost our first game to Detroit. We've really challenged our kids to go out and win your individual battle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of high school football is one on one, whether it's an offensive lineman versus a defensive lineman, or a guard against a linebacker, or a wide receiver trying to block a defensive back, and vice versa. I mean, you always have those individual battles going on, and that's why I think football is a great sport. One person doesn't do their job, the machine can break down.
Yeah.
And the focus of trusting each other and trusting the scheme and not getting down just because of one play, and, you know, weathering a storm when a quarterback gets hot and completes three or four balls in a row, and just knowing that, you know, the bottom line is that to play the best you can as an individual, and win those individual fights during the course of a game. And if we all focus on that at the end of the day, if we win more individual battles than they do, then we have a better chance of lighting up the scoreboard.
So how are you liking this gig now, full-time coaching as a head coach now? What is this, your third year now?
This is my, fourth season. I'm into my fourth year. What a difference being a head coach, especially in football. You know, in a baseball scene, you know, some of my coaches have to miss practice for different reasons. So almost by myself and get through that day.
Mm-hmm.
Football, you're relying on so many different people. My defensive coordinator, Bob Murphy, and I have such a great relationship in that, you know, I don't touch his defense. He doesn't touch my offense. And, you know, we kind of work independently. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you know, we've got to make sure we trust each other. You know, our special teams coach, Jeff Agito, the job that he does with our special teams, and when, you know, whenever we have meetings, there's a lot of respect there because you have to rely on each other. One person can't run the show. I know Bill Belichick's a great coach, and I respect the heck out of him, but even he's going to depend on other people with certain aspects of practice, of scheme, and, you know, of game, of running a game.
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you the truth, it's been a great experience.
Yeah, and I guess, I want to keep you, Coach, but your captains have to help out in that aspect too, don't they?
And that's one thing that you can tell when you have a good team. The leadership of your captains, you know, the pre-practice drills, they're making sure the guys are out there, making sure that if, you know, we start practice at 3:30, you know, they're lined up and ready to go. Their behavior in the school, their behavior in the community, it all revolves around leadership. It all revolves around kids that are role models and then kids can trust and look up to. And, you know, this year our captains have been excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting Matt D'Amato back behind center, I think it was a confidence boost for our team. DeMeo and Daugherty both now playing both ways pretty much the entire game without coming off the field. I think inspires our younger kids to be the best that they can be and to follow those guys almost as role models, not so much as captains, but as people that they can look up to.
Excellent. Final comment, Coach. How is Doug Santos doing?
Doing very well. We talk just about every night. You know, he's doing well in Assumption. He's starting to figure out the offense. He's having a little bout with fumbleitis right now. He's had a couple of fumbles the last couple of games. But overall, couldn't be happier. He's going to class. He's getting an education, the first one in his family to do so. And the football aspect, he loves the coaching staff. He loves his teammates. He's roommates with the wide receiver from Pingree. So he's got a real close friend there that he's with every day. And he's understanding the importance of not just football, but education and you know, expanding his horizons, not just as an athlete, but as a student. I think he could be happy with his choice, and everything's working out well for him.
Well, Coach, I know how instrumental you've been, and it's just a great story for kids and for us fans here on the North Shore, too. So keep it going, and congratulations.
Thank you very much, guys.
Okay, Mark, take care. We'll talk to you later. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. We'll see you Friday night.
Yes, sir. I'll be there. That's Mark Betancourt, who is the Peabody High School football coach and more than a mentor, of course, to Doug Santos, who, as you heard, is doing so well at Assumption now. It's been a very tough, long, hard road for that young man, and Coach Betancourt and the Peabody Tanners football family and high school, all part of it, have helped out tremendously, and it's a great story. Okay, where am I? I don't know. Let me see here. Oh, we got to take a quick break, and then we'll come back with the Salem High School football coach, Matt Bouchard. We're rolling right along here on a Monday night. Football coming up this weekend. We'll have two games on Friday night, another one on Saturday. So be sure to check out our website and check out the football schedule. We'll be back.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sakesian and Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sakesian and Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, sakesiansports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
MSO, NewsForce.com, MSO Radio.
All right, and we are back with Salem High School football coach Matt Bouchard. Hi, Coach.
How are you?
Except for a little frog in the throat here. Not too bad. How are you guys doing? Correct me if I'm wrong, but a pretty big win last Friday night, yes?
Very big, yeah. No, it's the team's really excited, and this week, you know, coming out to practice, kids are motivated, and we're looking forward to Friday night.
Well, let's go back over that game with Swampscott, because you know, a big win. You guys scored a lot of points, and the Big Blue, you know, a home game, and it was a night game. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, they actually rented lights, so we got an opportunity to get over there on Friday night.
So bring us through that one a little bit. How'd the game unfold for you guys?
Yeah. So actually, I think the previous week against Winthrop, we had driven the ball down inside the 35 five times. We had a difficult time in the scoring zone, punching it in. But overall, offensively, we were very productive. We just inside the scoring zone, we had a tough time. And going into Swampscott week, we really had a big emphasis around getting it done inside the scoring zone. And the offensive line took a lot of ownership of that. And, you know, when we came out against Swampscott, anytime we got inside the scoring zone, you could see it in the offensive line surge. You could see it in the attitude and how they're approaching each down. And we were fortunate enough that, you know, the five times were inside the scoring zone in the Swampscott game that we were able to punch it in.
Well, let's start with the guy who gets all the credit, and then we'll talk about the line that did it. What about your young running back, Mr. Gaskins, who racked up 202 yards, three touchdowns?
Yeah, he had a great night. I think one of the big things is that after our second possession, you know, obviously a lot of guys were keying on him, and it opened up things even in that passing game. So we had a strong play-action game pretty much from the second series on, and that also helped Vinny, you know, in the run game. So he's somebody, he's a high-character kid, and he works hard every day. He's a great kid to coach, and every day he seems to be getting a little bit better. So we're real excited to see him get out there on Friday night.
What's his running style? His, you know, what's he look like when he carries the ball?
I think the best way to describe him is he's a post-contact player.
Ooh.
So he's somebody that when he does get hit, he's a tough guy to bring down. You know, if you even evaluate the Swampscott game, you know, a lot of his bigger runs, he broke probably three or four tackles. You know, so he's a guy that if he gets moving, he's hard to get down.
You know, and a lot of that, I think you mentioned character too. A lot of that has to do with inner drive sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you know what? I think one of the things with Vinny too is that he gets the guys around him excited, and I think that they feed off each other. So if he has a big run, you know, the offensive line gets really excited and helps drive him to work a little bit harder. And right now there's just really good chemistry. They're working hard together. And, you know, a lot of the miscues and some of the challenges we faced early in the season, we're starting to clean up, and it's starting to come together a little bit.
When you watch the film, what do you see from your line? Who's a lineman or two that had a particularly good game for you?
Yeah, so, I mean, our offensive line in general, when we grade them, the offensive line as a whole graded out in the high 70s, so 77%, which is, you know, indicative of how well we move the ball. But some top performers, one of the top performers was Joe Diaz. Joe Diaz is a junior. He plays an offensive guard for us. And especially inside, he really did a nice job kind of getting, especially in their particular front, where we were running the ball a lot. He was a primary guy we were running behind, and he did had one of his best performances.
Excellent. Now, Coach, is there an aspect of the team that you're most pleased with in terms of improvement over the course of the season, say from preseason now to here we are at the midway mark, you know, something that you're really happy that the kids have listened to?
Yeah, I think I would say, I mean, defensively as a whole, I would say that we seem to be getting stronger each week. I would say we had our best performance on Friday night on defense. Swampscott had a lot of
a lot of athletes that can get things done in space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be able to control that situation as well as control the inside run game, it really spoke to kind of where we've come as a defense. And I think that that's really anchoring around some of our linebackers that we have out there. So Jackson Hannaford is playing the Mike linebacker. Xavier Cole, one of our captains, is playing the Sam linebacker. And Tyler Skeffington is playing the Will. And those guys have really stepped up. You know, one of our primary linebackers, Felix Cruz, actually went down after the Saugus game with a broken thumb. And he unfortunately hasn't been able to play. So we got guys getting in there in critical games, really stepping up and doing a nice job in there.
Well, speaking of critical games, you've got one coming up this weekend, I believe, at home.
We do. We're excited that it's at Bertram. You know, as you guys probably know, Salem, it's been since, I think, 1999 to the last time Salem beat Gloucester. So for a lot of these kids that are playing this game, they actually weren't even born the last time Salem beat Gloucester. So there's something there that's making this game a little bit more special outside of just the overall, you know, the ranking in our conference. And the kids understand it's a big game. They can see it on film. They know what's coming. And they're really excited about that. I would say they had the best practice all year today.
I saw a game, Salem-Gloucester game, I don't know, 6 or 8 years ago when Gloucester could have challenged Everett that year, I think, and Salem was not playing very well. And it was at Bertram, and Gloucester turned the ball over 5 times in that game, and I believe Gloucester managed a 6-0 win. So, you know, I don't think there's that kind of disparity between the two teams this year, but the kids have got to be pumped up for this. And also, you know, winning against Swampscott has to instill a lot of confidence.
Yeah, I think anytime you go on the road, especially in that type of environment where you have a team that's renting lights, they're playing on their home mm-hmm. field in a setting that they don't normally play, and to go out and play with confidence like I saw, we definitely had some defining moments where we had, you know, put offensively and defensively in difficult situations, and the kids responded. And we're starting to build a culture of responding in difficult situations, which is critical if you want to win big games. So
excellent.
Some of these pieces are coming together, and I think that hopefully the timing's right, and we can get things done on Friday night.
Well, Coach, I wish you the best of luck, and we'll talk down the road if it's okay with you.
Perfect. Love to.
All right, Coach, thanks a lot. Good luck this week.
I appreciate it.
Take care.
Thank you.
That is Salem football coach Matt Bouchard. They face Gloucester on Friday evening. That game will be at Bertram Field in the haunted happenings city of Salem on a Friday night. My goodness. Okay, we'll take a break and come back with Tim Kearns, get his thoughts on things. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night. And again, if you got some information or some critique, criticisms, ideas, whatever, just let us know, msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Okay, so we'll take a break one more time, and we'll be back with Mr. Kearns.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our 3 locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch Watch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Mr. Kearns, are you there?
I'm here, Mr. Moore.
Yes, you are. How's the lower extremities feeling?
Not too badly, not too badly. I'm flaring out and loosening up a little bit. It was, about 10 hours on the bike today. just shy of 400 miles.
Little cold up there by the border, by the Canadian border?
I'll tell you, it was 40 in the 40s for most of the ride, up through about 2:30, and it finally hit 50. It was actually warmer at 5 o'clock when we were on our way home. than it was mid-morning when we were heading north.
I believe it. Tim, we just took a tour around the North Shore with football coaches. We talked with Wakefield's football coach, Steve Cummings, Mark Betancourt of Peabody High School, Matt Bouchard of Salem High School. And the thing that jumps out to me, I guess now as an old-timer but a long-time sports fan, the thing that jumps out to me is the enthusiasm that these coaches have working such long freaking hours day after day with high school kids who must have all kinds of, problems, anxieties, good things to share, whatever it might be, all kinds of social experience, and they still have that positive attitude every single day. It's amazing.
Yeah, and if you're dealing with large numbers of kids, Rick, I know certain schools' numbers are down, but certainly there are programs that have 50 to 100 kids. Sometimes on either two or three different levels. Their season planning starts, as soon as the postseason starts, but they're getting stuff organized during the summertime because then they've got to be ready to go in August for those 2 weeks before school starts where they get time to pull the kids together. It's keeping, in contact with your other assistant coaches and your captains to make sure the kids are doing off season. Conditioning if they're not playing other sports. And then it's a long haul. They meet the kids after school. It's sometimes Saturday games. It's Saturday, Sunday review sessions with the film with the coach, mm-hmm. and they bring the kids in. And it is long, and at times I'm sure it gets tedious, but, it's a commitment that they made because for the love of the game and for the desire to pass on their knowledge to the kids.
Yeah, and I'm just always so impressed with that. All right, Tim, a couple of minutes left here. What catches your mind's eye on sports?
Well, certainly the Red Sox have got to play more like the early season Red Sox than the late season Red Sox, and unfortunately, I wasn't pleased when they went into that tailspin in the last two series where they won one out of six games, and it just seems like it's had a hangover effect into the first two games. The pitching that had been so effective has been ineffective. When you rely on Buchholz to save your bacon in terms of extending the season, I don't know if you're asking too much of the guy because he's such a frail individual. He's already trailing 2-1 at this point in the game, having just scored. Do you let him continue? Do you go to the bullpen now? Because for them, there's no tomorrow. I haven't watched a whole lot of the Bruins in the Celtics preseason, so I'm not really one to comment on those two just yet. But, the Patriots performed as expected. Tom Brady came back. The revenge tour started. And Roger Goodell must be just going, well, that didn't work. and the other 31 owners are saying the exact same thing. Well, that didn't derail them. There's 3-1 to start. Now he comes back and he throws a 400 yards on his first day back. We're all screwed. he's going to come back and he's going to play with a vengeance. And all those guys that surround him, all his best buddies, Gronkowski and Edelman, Bennett's career just got lit up to like about 7 degrees because he's finally got a great quarterback who can throw and hit him. And if he keeps catching, he's going to keep getting the ball. And, they're going to just torture people. They're not going to be nice. It's going to be, 2007 all over again after the Spygate of 2006. They're just going to come out and they're just going to smash people.
Well,
and they're going to be take no. Actually, I was surprised at the end of the game, Bill decided to put again, I was going to say Matt Castle, but Jimmy Garoppolo in after they got the 33 points. He sat Brady. He figured, hey, no sense. You know, big lead. Maybe, you know, someone takes a cheap shot at him, which is the first time in Brady's career that that's happened because he plays the entire game.
Yeah.
He wants to play every snap. So is this Bill getting soft or is he getting protective of Brady? Probably a little bit of both. But they're going to run it up. They're not going to stop trying to score points on people just to let them know you can't hurt us. No matter what you try to do, you can't hurt us. We will continue to win because of the way that we plan, the way that we prepare, the way that we train, the way that we coach. And we're going to have a bump in the road every now and then like we saw last week against Buffalo. But in the end, you know, they're going to be out near the top.
Did you mention Martellus Bennett?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I said, you know, the three touchdowns, you know, his comments after the game, he said, you know, this nothing like this has ever happened to him before. So he's rocking and rolling. He just can't wait to get back out on the field next Sunday to catch some more.
I think he mentioned his mother's happy that they're using him the way he finally should be used.
And when Moyle's happy, everybody's happy.
There you go. You got that right. Coach, we got a call on tonight. We'll see you here next week.
I'll be back.
Are you sure? No, I thought you were going away next weekend, too.
No, I'm away Friday night, Saturday. I'll be back Sunday.
Okay, very good. All right. Okay, Coach, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, Rick.
Thanks, Tim. Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
That is Tim Kearns, MSO's own Tim Kearns. Again, check the schedule. Lots of football coming up this weekend. And we'll be back here with North Shore Sports Night next Monday night. This is MSONewsSports.com.